Chapter 43. Broth and Ice. Bidi was meditating upon his math formations when the disciples were called by the great master. His voice was as strong as always, but today it had an undercurrent of tension. He, being a loyal disciple, swiftly rose and accompanied his master outside. It was a black day. The clouds were ominous, and the wind was like daggers hurled through the air. Something terrible was brewing on the horizon. He wondered what the matter was. Had something vexed his great master? The thing that dared would be swiftly destroyed by his spurs. The great master gestured for him to sit, and he gracefully did, then waited for the rest of the disciples to arrive. The great master sat still and appeared to be meditating. His fellow disciples assembled and prepared to receive his wisdom.
"We'll be eating one of the chickens," his great master stated.
Bidi froze at the statement and bowed his head. He'd known this day would once more come. One of the hens had stopped laying eggs. She was plump and full of chi, and yet she had no spark still. Even after receiving a name of power, Bunti was just as she had been. The rest of the disciples? Well, while she looked eager, the piscine glutton just happy for food. Tigu snorted contemptuously and gave him a nasty smirk. One of his kin was to be consumed. It was a petty gesture. Pipa nodded her head. Of them all, only Brother Chongqi looked worried and nosed at the great master. He smiled sadly at the large one.
"If she was like you are, then she would not be eaten. People who can think are not food," the great master reassured them.
But Bidi was unconcerned. He had long ago deduced that. Still, it was good to hear it from the great master's own mouth. Chongqi oinked sadly, gazing up with piteous eyes.
"Death is not always a bad thing, Chongqi. She will feed us and make us strong, just like the rabbits and the deer and the other fish. This is the same as that, okay?"
Chongqi whined, but allowed his great master to rise. The axe was retrieved, and Bunti was taken. Bidi watched, unflinching, as her life went on to nourish the great master. With a single blow, the deed was done. He bowed his head in respect to the one who had given both her life and chi back to the Lord. Brother Chongqi wailed. There was a storm outside, one of the winter's last hurrahs. The wind was howling like a demon, the snow was flying so fast and thick it made the world white. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, and anybody caught outside would be in for a bad time. It was one of the storms that defined winter. I was, naturally, enjoying it immensely from inside my house. The fire was crackling merrily away, and the house was warm and dry. I had finally gotten my chicken soup. I'd been a bit leery about killing the hen, but she showed no signs of intelligence beyond what chickens should show, so I made the decision. It always hits a bit different when it's an animal you own rather than an already slain chicken in a market. You took care of them, you raised them from a chick, and then you took everything away from them. It was too much for some people. Some farmers responded by hardening their hearts and caring little for their animals. Me? Well, I just wouldn't take my food for granted. I don't think I have it in me to go vegetarian either. I'd give them the best life I could so that when they did go, they had actually had a bit of a life. I took another spoonful of broth. It was goddamn fantastic chicken soup. Best I'd ever had, even from the before. Thanks, Bunti. I held out a bit of chicken for Tigger, and the cat eagerly ate, cleaning off my fingers with her tongue. Out of all of them, she was the most enthusiastic about this meal, even more than Washi. I sighed and reached down beside me again, rubbing my chunky boy's head. He snuffled sadly. Peppa was leaned up on the other side of him, also refusing to eat any of the chicken. I sighed. Chunky did not look good, sad. How a 200-pound boar could look so much like a kicked puppy was beyond me.
"You don't have to eat it if you don't want to," I said simply. "I understand, but this is what she died for."
Chunky gave a sad oink and shook his head. "That's all right.
Do you want to have any meat in the future, or just no more meat from the farm? He tapped his chin twice on the ground, indicating the second part of my question, and shook his head again. I nodded and scratched his head affectionately. Peppa was staring at the meat, but shook her head when she caught me looking at her. Chunky nudged her, and she somehow managed to blush at getting caught. She wanted it, but wasn't eating any because Chunky didn't want any. She daintily took the offering, nodding her head at the taste. The other animal who did not partake was Big D, but I have to admit, I would have been pretty concerned if he did. When I had explained why I was killing the hen, Big D just accepted it. And not just accept, but he seemed to approve. I still remember as he looked on, unflinching. I had made it as quick as I could, a clean death. He'd simply bowed his head and then returned to the house. That he had already rationalized it was both a relief and a bit concerning. But Big D seemed to think that they were almost a separate species. He mated with the females and joined in on the cognitive tests I gave them, watching for any sign of intelligence. But after they all turned up failures, even the other rooster, he'd lost interest in them. He seemed disappointed. I'm going to be honest, I don't really know how to deal with his problems. It was something I certainly had no experience in. All I could do was be there if he wanted to talk, I guess. I finished my soup, then turned back to my thoughts on where to go from here. Plans changed all the time in light of new information, but I should at least have a plan. I mean, take the bath, for example. First, I'd wanted a fire crystal and a water crystal to produce water and heat. But when you could literally lift the entire tub up, dunk it in the river to fill it with water, and then flash heat it with chi, well, you don't really need those things, do you? Necessity was the mother of invention, after all, and if you don't need something, you tend to leave it. Or at least it gets put on the back burner. I still did want them, if only for the convenience when Maymay got there. I had built an entire setup to heat the water faster with bellows and a chimney, and then I ended up not really using it. Trees and wood were important resources, and I didn't want to start clear-cutting my land to fuel everything. It was good it was still cold enough for me to freeze the broth. I could have it for a while longer. One of the biggest things I had to contend with was preservation. I already had a pseudo-refrigerator in the river room where the colder water ran over my food, but I needed the ice to last. There was always the pit method, which people here already used. I could just dig a big hole, cover it, and hope the ice didn't melt. It would take a while, but that would still only last a couple of months. I knew that because Maymay had shown me Hong Yao Wu's storage area, and there wasn't any ice left. I frowned as I tried to come up with something. Could I just cheat again? Chi reinforcement made things more durable. Could I just use it on ice and have it last longer? I absently picked up two pieces of wood. One I reinforced with chi, the other I didn't. I placed both ends in the fire and waited. The unreinforced one caught before the reinforced one, but it was a near thing. There's only so much chi something can hold, after all. Only so much stronger it can get. Push too much into it, and it will break or even explode. I talk about how I'm just kind of shoving chi at things, but, well, it is a bit more delicate than that. Normally, it does require quite a bit of concentration to fill something new up with your essence and make everything perfect, but this was one of the few things I was good at. The shoots of plants were very delicate, after all. One had to have a light touch. That was probably why the new initiates of Cloudy Sword Sect were put on plant duty, to improve chi control. Or maybe it was just because we were expendable labor. Probably the latter. In any case, I had another experiment to run. I walked out into the cold, howling blizzard and got some more ice from the river. Honestly, the improvement wasn't much. It took about 20 seconds longer for it to start melting. But it was movement in the right direction. Well, no time like the present to teach the scientific method. The thing about science is that we always think of the cool shit. The giant spaceships, the cars, the guns. What most people gloss over is that most of the time, unless you're super passionate, science is super goddamn boring. I was literally watching ice melt so I could see if chi could make it melt less, helping it last longer, and making it so I wouldn't need a complicated storage area. Most of my experiments were duds. I had several groups near the fire and then leading outwards towards the river room. There was just a set amount of chi that ice could take before it shattered, and it was mundane ice, not the stuff young mistresses magicked up, so it wasn't harder than steel and twice as deadly. Now I had a bunch of ice all over my house, arranged into two groups. Washi, mark down 20 seconds again. The fish nodded happily, seconds being the intervals that I was tapping my leg at. They were all pretty even, so it was good enough for taking time. Honestly, he was the most interested in this, but only after I told him it was for food preservation, of course. The rest of my disciples had gotten bored with the repetitive nature of what we were doing. Big D still checked in occasionally, but the rest of them had gone off to play or hunt. Like I said, watching ice melt was boring, even if it could be important. I sighed as I tried to reinforce the ice again. Maybe if I put it in a different way. I carefully began constructing a horizontal lattice. It shattered. Nope, not that way. Maybe it was a mass thing. I stared around at the wet spots on my floor. You know what? Let's call it a day. I'm going out to find Chunky, I decided. You get back to the river room, okay, Washi? The fish nodded his head, slapping his fins in frustration. Yeah, I know, little buddy. Maybe we'll have better luck tomorrow.